True joy cannot depend on outside circumstances. If it did, we'd be at the whim of whatever life brings our way. True joy is unshakable, and true joy makes us want to wake up in the morning with a smile on our face, joy in our hearts, tons of energy, and raring to go.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Be Optimized Condition. I'm your host, Omar Cumberbatch.
Our guest tonight is McCartney Green. You may recall her on the show back in November of 2016, and we had like an excellent show, and we were supposed to be talking about her keys to unshakable joy. There's 7 keys to a happy life and becoming a manifesting magnet. We got so caught up in the amazing story that brought her to receiving those keys that we never got to the actual keys and how to become that manifesting magnet. So McCartney's formulas help people to relieve sadness, hopelessness, depression, mend relationships, overcome traumas, and make people wake up in the morning with a smile on their faces, joys in their hearts, and raring to go. So McCartney, thanks for coming back. I know that we had a great time last time, and I'm so happy that you came back because this was really what I wanted to get into. But we had a great show. Like I said, it was so well received. I mean, it was like one of my biggest shows of 2016 for sure. So I can only imagine what we're going to do tonight. So I just want you to reintroduce yourself to the audience and kind of just let everybody know what you've been up to.
Well, I'm McCartney Green, and I'm an author and a speaker and a life coach and a spiritual mentor. And I have been up to teaching people how to have this unshakable joy that I talk about, how they can have absolute real, true joy in their lives, no matter what their current situation.
Awesome, awesome.
And you, I love it.
Yeah, no, I love this topic, and this is something that I can't wait to get into the nitty gritty of it. And so, can you basically tell us briefly how you came to find these keys to a happy life?
Absolutely, and let me just tell you this: I have not always been so freaking happy. Some people think, "Oh my gosh, here she comes, a little happy girl." but I have not always been so happy. As a matter of fact, I was born into poverty, alcoholism, abuse, neglect, and hunger. We were always so hungry, and it only got worse from there. And then, you know, I grew up and I got married, and it pretty much, you know, I thought everything was going to get better, but it didn't. Pretty much stay the same, because want and need was all I knew. And when that's all you know, you sort of bring that in with you. And that's all you expect. And that's all you're going to get is still want more, want, need. So by the time I was married 20 years, my husband had lost his job. And I was working 3 part-time jobs trying to make ends meet. We had 7 children. So if you can imagine me trying to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads, the financial stress was unbearable. And then on top of that, my marriage was crumbling, and I knew it was coming to an end. And I felt very unloved and confused and alone. And then on top of that, I was sexually assaulted in a Wendy's parking lot. And that filled me with such guilt and shame, because at the time I was a real athlete. I was very, very athletic. I was into bodybuilding. I was running 6 miles a day. I was very fast. I was very strong. I was very agile. And I thought if anybody ever tried to hurt me, I'd kick their butts, you know, but it didn't happen that way. I froze in fear. And that filled me with so much guilt and shame. It was actually worse than what had actually happened. The guilt and shame was worse than what had actually happened. So on top of all that, I convinced myself somehow that the world and my children would be better off without me, and I tried to take my own life. Now, I only tell the story so that you know that I was at the bottom of the barrel, and if someone like me can finally find real, true, unshakable joy, then anybody can. But I don't say it so that people, you know, think, oh, poor me, or I am not a victim, and I will cry from the highest mountain that I am not a victim. And I only allow people to know it so that they know that I understand their pain. I understand what they're coming from. I get it. And that way they know that I'm not just some person who's had it great all her life saying, oh, you can be joyful. Now, what happened was I woke up one morning and there was a man standing at the foot of my bed. And I know any normal woman would have been crazy and terror, you know, terrified. But he had a light all around him, and I knew he was some kind of heavenly messenger. And that was strange that I actually knew that, because at the time my life was going so bad, I completely really lost my faith. I didn't even think there was a God anymore. And so the fact that I recognized that this was some sort of heavenly messenger was amazing in itself. But he appeared to me, he counseled me, he advised me, and he put me on the track, the path that I'm on right now. And at first, let me just say, the way he left, because everybody always says, well, you never told me how he left, you know. Well, the light gathered around him until it looked like he was kind of imploding, and it gathered around him until he simply disappeared. Now, I pushed this story into the corner of my brain, and I didn't tell anybody except my own family about it for years. This happened in 94, and for the next 22 years or 21 years, I was pretty miserable still. You know, my husband and I finally divorced, and some good things happened. I did meet my new husband, and we got married. But the thing is that I had pushed this wonderful, miraculous thing aside, and I didn't tell anybody, and I think that's why I didn't progress. I didn't evolve. But finally, in 2015, he came back to me, and he set me on the path of writing my most recent book, which is Messages from Transcendent Beings. And in that book, and I had no idea what exactly that book was going to be about, I sort of let him inspire me and guide me, and I just wrote what came into my mind. But in the very last chapter of that book, there were these keys. He called them keys to super spirituality. But I realized that super spirituality, that super spiritual connection, are actually keys to unshakable joy. And what I found out after I started practicing them, I became so filled with joy and happiness. And then all of a sudden, like a miracle or like magic, everything I'd ever dreamed of being or doing just started coming to me. Just everything. I mean, in real magical ways. People calling me and telling me, this is the weirdest thing, and I know I've never met you, but it's like God is telling me that I needed to call you and offer you this and offer you that. That has happened to me at least 5 times over the past year. Just miracles. So I'm so excited to share my keys with everybody else and teach them how to have joy. Because that joy leads to just manifesting anything you want into your life.
Okay, I'm trying my best not to go off topic this time around because, like, that's what I want to get to. I want to get to these keys. But I just want to just ask a quick question. And okay. It, again, it's I'm a novice at this. I'm not very much understanding of it in its totality. But is anything to do with vibrational, like, resonance have to do with this? Because I've heard a lot about that. And just the bait that you say, the joy part of it, does that have anything to do with becoming a manifesting magnet?
Yes. You see, because spirituality, and I say this, you know, and I include everyone, because not everybody believes in God or Jesus or higher powers or divine beings, but they all believe in something. But they call it source. They call it, you know, universal power, universal light, whatever they want to call it. That what that means is having this spiritual connection to that divine power all has to do with vibration. See, you're absolutely right, because everything vibrates. You know, a rock vibrates. It just vibrates at a very slow speed. And then like a little puppy, it vibrates a little faster. And then a tree is vibrating even faster. And the divine power and the universal light and source, it is the highest vibration. And if we can lift our vibration up higher and connect spiritually, that vibration is just the highest vibration. And yes, that's one of the ways that this helps to attract things to you, but it has to be more, because you have to be able to sustain that vibration. And you can't sustain it if every time something goes wrong or bad in your life, you lose your joy and you're unhappy again, or you're depressed again, or you're sad again, or your boyfriend left you, or whatever, you know. The vibration has to be sustainable, and that's where the unshakable joy comes in.
Okay, so gotta sustain it. So someone like me who, you know, I do get frustrated and things like that, just like I think most people do. What's the term, fake it till you make it? How does that play into this kind of equation?
Well, you know, I've heard that a lot, but you can't, And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it means you believe in yourself, really. You're sort of faking it, but you really believe in yourself. And I sort of don't like the term fake it till you make it because I'm so totally honest. But that was what was holding me back. I'm saying, well, how can I say I'm this or I'm that or I have this or I have that when I don't? But I actually do. I do. I have anything I want. And I've realized that. So faking it till you make it, if you could be doing yourself a disservice if inside when you say that, something is a disconnect, something fights against that, saying, no, that's not true, you know, then you're doing yourself a disservice. But if you can say fake it till you make it and say it because you really and truly believe in yourself, then that's different. You know, I have not been on giant stages yet talking like Tony Robbins and like Wayne Dyer used to and all these people. And that is my goal, to talk to the world and teach them how to have this unshakable joy. And you could say that right now I'm faking it till I make it, but I believe in myself and I believe in the message that I'm giving. So I don't like to call it faking it because that makes me feel that fraud symptom, you know.
No, I got you. I definitely get you. I guess maybe if you could say like what exactly unshakable joy means and how do we get to that point where we have the confidence that you obviously have, even with going through all this stuff that you have gone through in your life.
Okay. Well, unshakable joy is some, I call it joy for no reason. And that is not joy because you just landed a sweet new job, and not joy because your boyfriend just proposed, not joy because you lost 50 pounds or because your team won the game, or not even joy because you won the lottery, but joy for no reason, because true joy cannot depend on outside circumstances. If it did, we'd be at the whim of whatever life brings our way. True joy is unshakable, and true joy makes us want to wake up in the morning with a smile on our face, joy in our hearts, tons of energy, and raring to go. And anybody can have this absolute unshakable joy. It doesn't matter what situation they're in, what their current circumstances, or what traumas they've been through in the past. All they have to do is practice these super, super easy keys that take only seconds a day, and they can have it. And oh, let me just say this. Everyone says, well, how do you get the energy? I don't understand the energy. Where does it give you energy? Because remember when you were a kid and you had to wake up and go to school and you just didn't want to. But remember when you were a kid and you had to wake up and go to Disneyland or to Six Flags? All of a sudden, it was easy to get out of bed. It's that same type of thing. I look forward to every day. I can't wait to get started on my day.
And that's a part of doing what you love, and that's sharing this impressive message to everybody as well. So does that have a lot to do with creating unshakable joy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it makes you, when you have that unshakable joy, that's how it makes you feel. It makes you just love and find your right path and love what you do, and then, you know, you just want to go for it. When you're on the path, when you know what you want to do, it's such a clarity. It's such a thing of clarity that it makes you feel so good inside. And that path, finding that right path and what you really want to do, comes with that spiritual connection. That spiritual connection, the seven keys, are almost the answer to everything.
All right. So let's get into the seven keys. We're at the, you know, almost like the 12 minute mark, and people have been waiting for a show in 12 minutes to hear the seven keys. So McCartney, go ahead with it. Let's go. What are the seven keys?
All right. Well, the first one is going to seem like a cop out because it's so simple. And I just have to say again, we're supposed to get to these keys, but let me just say really quickly that they're so simple and they're so easy that some people think, well, that's nothing. That's not going to help me. That's not going to do anything. They're too simple, too easy. Well, my messenger has told me that we all try to make things too hard when really they are simple. They're just simple. It doesn't take a whole lot of anything. So the very first key is called be an observer of your own thoughts. Lots of people are told that. Lots of coaches tell us that. Be an observer of your own thoughts. Here's what that means. Everything begins with thought. There's nothing that can be done without thought. And there's nothing that could be done that is of the light without positive thought. So observe your own thoughts. Now, listen to yourself, observe, but don't judge yourself and don't be frustrated with yourself. Only observe. That's the beginning. That's the only thing. When you find yourself in a bad situation, if something's upset you, Omar, or if someone's upset someone in the audience, and you're angry or you're frustrated or you're sad or depressed, just stand back and simply observe your own thoughts. Don't try to change them. Don't say, oh, no, I shouldn't be mad. Don't do that, because that's what you are. Just observe for now, because being self-aware, being conscious, this is the sign of an evolving life. So that one's not hard, is it?
No, it's not hard. I think it's hard because a lot of people say, okay, observe what I do next. It's like, it's kind of like the natural way of thinking is like, okay, now I just sitting back, not doing anything. I think people have a lot of difficulty achieving. So, right. All right, sit back and observe. That's number one.
Sit back and observe. Don't do anything and don't judge yourself. Okay. You know, don't say, oh, I shouldn't be angry or I shouldn't be depressed or I don't have any reason to feel this way. Just observe. It's very important to just quiet and observe yourself. Okay.
Got it.
Number two is another super, super easy, and it's going to sound crazy. You ready? It's hydrating and stretching your body. Hmm. So I know people think, well, what could drinking water and stretching have to do with joy? Well, first let me talk about water. Water is not only perfect for flushing out impurities from our bodies, but is a super conductor. And therefore, staying hydrated is an important part of the energy connection between our bodies and source energy or God's energy, whatever anyone wants to call it. Water is a spiritual conduit. So if you are allowing your body to become dehydrated and not drinking enough water, you are losing a great conduit to source energy.
Regarding any specific type of water, how much, what do you suggest?
That's a great question, because you hear the whole thing about you should drink so much in your body weight or so many ounces according to your body weight or 8 glasses a day. And some people go, oh, I can't drink that. So that wouldn't help if you're forcing water and you're hating every bit of it. That cannot help your vibration. So what I always suggest is try to just at least do 4 glasses a day. Some people don't drink any water at all.
No,
so four glasses would be a lot for them. And of course, we want it to be pure water. The purer the water, the better it is. If you can filter the fluoride and the other leads and metals out of the water, that's great. I know there's a few companies that make great water, and there's actually waters that are, you know, ionized and have an electrical charge, or the alkaline is, you know, checked. So any of those waters, but I'm just saying any water, anything that makes you feel good. I don't want people to have to say, oh no, I've got to go out and buy fancy water. No, just do what you can to drink the purest water that you can drink.
Got it.
And try to drink, you know, four glasses, 4 8-ounce glasses. And if you can drink more, do so. And if you just can't, well, drink 1 glass of water, but do whatever you can do. And don't beat yourself up. Remember, the vibration of being angry with yourself is never a great vibration.
Got it.
Okay. So the stretching part. So some people say stretching, you mean stretching my mind? And I say, yeah, you can always stretch your mind, but I'm not really talking about that right now. I'm talking about actually stretching your body, because your body is more important than you think in the seeking of spiritual alignment. In this earthly realm, just think of it this way. In this earthly realm, our bodies are the clear point in which the spiritual meets the physical, because that's where our spirits meet this physical world. It's the point in where the spiritual meets the physical. So our bodies are important. But this doesn't mean that that's the only way to connect with spirit is to be, you know, super physically fit, even though wouldn't that be awesome if everybody was. But many people focus on health and fitness, and they find a beautiful spiritual connection. And I always recommend that everyone be as fit as possible. But let's look at people who are not quite so fit. Don't let this defeat you, because you don't have to be perfectly fit to align spiritually. Anyone in any physical condition can reach spiritual alignment, a beautiful alignment. You can even be handicapped or in a wheelchair or paralyzed. because all you have to do is stretch. And I found that the moment we decide to stretch the body and to use it properly and to be grateful for it, the higher the vibration that moves through it, and the higher the vibration, the closer we are to the higher realms. So
interesting, because like you mentioned earlier, you were very much into bodybuilding. Like, is there a distinction between that type of physical fitness as opposed to yoga? Do you subscribe to one better than the other at this point?
No. Then what I say is, what is best, what feels best for you is what's the best one. So I think yoga is beautiful and wonderful, and I highly recommend it to anyone. I think playing football is totally cool, and I recommend it to anyone. I think jogging or running or sprinting or powerlifting or crossfitting or jump roping, anything, or walking, just any physical fitness is whatever is dancing, whatever makes you feel happy and fit, then that's the best one. And people will find their coaches, their fitness coaches, they'll come attracted to them. You know, if they're living in their joy, the right program will come to them.
Awesome, awesome. So what's number three?
All right, number three. This is the hardest one. It's the hardest. But it's the second most important, and it is the hardest. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let go.
Ugh.
Some people think, oh, that's no problem, I let go. But you know, everyone is holding on to life with like an iron fist. We want to control everything in our lives. We want to control everything that happens in our lives, everything we do. And not only do we want to control everything in our lives, but in our family's lives, in our friends' lives, even perfect strangers' lives, like, hey, you shouldn't drive that way, whatever, you know. But we're always trying to control everything. It's like a great need, and it's futile. It's futile, and it will bring you nothing but unhappiness. Why? Because can we really control everything that happens? No,
not at all.
We can't. So if that's what we're trying to do, we are always going to be upset and sad or depressed or unhappy or angry or fearful because we can't control it. So we have to let go. We have to let go of more than that, though. We have to let go of, okay, this is, people are going to resist, but let me try. We're going to let go of all expectations. Let go of any negative thoughts or emotions. And here's a giant one. Let go of your need or want for anything. That means letting go of all your desires. And all I'm saying is for you simply to accept all that is you right now. Say yes to who you are, what you are, where you are, how you are right now in this very moment. And if you're in a place that feels pretty good, well, just be grateful for it. And if you're in a place that feels terrible right now, wallow in it. But either way, just accept it. So at this moment, people who are listening may be feeling a little bit rebellious about what I've just asked them to do because they don't want to accept that where they are right now in this very moment. And I'm not asking them to never reach for what you desire again. I'm just asking is a tiny adjustment in your thought, for before you reach for anything, you have to accept and say yes to the now. So before you can get anything to come your way, you just have to accept the now. And the working toward goals comes later. For now, you just have to let go. So you stop pushing, you relax, you accept. If you feel yourself tense up about anything, you let go. And a visualization helps you take a deep breath and see yourself letting go of a taut rope. And you let go and you float down and you land softly. Mm. Just anything like that that helps you to let go. Here's my big thing, the easiest way for me to say it. You have to let go as if your life were coming to an end. You have to let go as if you're never going to accomplish anything else. This is it. This is all life has to offer. You're about to end your life is coming to an end. You're about to die. If you can let go with that in that way, you have such a surrender. And you'll feel the most freedom that you've ever felt in your life. And it's a wonderful, relaxing, peaceful, and empowering feeling to let go that much, to say, okay, this is it. I let go. I stop pushing. I'm not trying to force anything. I'm just letting go. It's a very, very peaceful thought.
You know what? I've had a couple of guests who've said the exact same thing. And it is very difficult for myself. And I'm sure a lot of the audience, especially, you know, this show is, you know, profiling high achievers like yourself. And we see all that you've accomplished. And, you know, we all want to be as successful as you. And just like the other guests, like, how do you balance goals with this concept of letting go? Like, it's very difficult.
That's a really good question, Omar. And the thing is, okay, let me use myself as an example because that's the easiest. I have a goal of wanting to speak on giant stages to thousands of people, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to fill out 10 speaker applications every day. I have to do this and I have to do that. But when I get into that stressful, I'm not helping when I get into the stressful push situation. So I have to let go and I go, okay, I'll fill out today what I can, and I will not send it in with frustration or despair or what's the word I'm looking for, just anxiousness or anxiety. I'm going to send it in saying, hey, if they like me, they like me, and if they don't, they don't, and I will not try to force this or push it. That helps me write a better application. That helps me to send it in with a better vibration. And I have had at least 5 people a day over the last week call me or email me and ask me to speak for them. And I didn't even apply to all those places. They just came to me. And that's because I have to let go and not try to force it. And as soon as I start worrying, oh no, but how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get that done? Then I realize I'm fighting myself again. I have to let go again. You will find that you have to let go 100 times a day. Like I say, it's the hardest thing. And I still have to do it. I find myself, you know, tensing up and trying to force something all the time. But as soon as I let go, I trust and I know. Because, see, I was so lucky. I had a spiritual divine being actually appear to me. I know that there's so much more going on behind the scenes. And I just want to share that with people so that they can know too, so that they can let go and trust that, yes, if I let go and don't force it, and if I keep my joy, then it's going to come to me. But it can't be your focus. Getting what you want can't be your focus. Only focus is living in joy. Getting what you want comes after you live in joy. All right.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get to that point. I've heard it, and again, McCartney, trust me, like a lot of people have told me the exact same thing. It's just it's very difficult. And like you said, you did say this was the hardest part of the hardest key. So I'm going to take you for your word, and I'm going to just try to practice it a little more. It's just something.
The next one will help you with it.
Okay, so, let's do it. What's the next one?
The next one is called what I call pulling light. Mm-hmm. And pulling light, you've heard of people doing light meditations, right? Where they sit and they do a long meditation and they bring light down through the crown of their head and through their, you know, crown chakra and through their body. You've heard of that.
Yes, sure. I have that. I have.
Yeah, I'll be done it. But this pulling light is because people don't have time and don't take time. They feel stressed over trying to find the time to do meditations and pull light and bring a light meditation. So pulling light is a 2-second process. And I want you to picture it like, you remember when everyone was doing the ice bucket challenge?
Yes.
And it was just a whoosh of cold water came over their body. Well, this is kind of like that, only it's a whoosh of the brightest, whitest, lightning-colored light. And instead of going over our body, it's coming through and around our bodies. And it's just a whoosh. And I play with it. You know, some people say, I call upon the light of Christ. Some people say, I call upon the light of God. Some people say, I call upon the light of Source or the light of the universe. I like to play with it. And do you this is going to tell my age, but there was an old show my kids used to watch. It was He-Man.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He used to say, I have the power.
Oh, yeah. That's my show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I like to say power shield activated. And when I say that, oh, it just happened. When I just say that, I see this flash of light, bright, bright light just whoosh through my body. And it removes any darkness that has attached my body, anything. Mm. It's just complete light has whooshed through my body. Now, I can do it three times in a row. Power shield activated, power shield activated. Or I have the power, or I call upon the light of source. Either way, I feel this light going through my body. Now, what people have to realize is it really is going through your body if you're visualizing it. Because our thoughts are real. They are actually real. And sometimes when I see this light coming through my body, I pulse it like in huge bursts. And sometimes I just do one big whoosh. And sometimes I just feel like doing it over and over again. And at first, for the first few weeks I started doing this, I didn't feel a thing. But after about 2 weeks of doing it, you know, several times a day, just whenever I thought about it, I mean, heck, it only takes 2 seconds. I started to feel like an electricity. My little finger on my left hand would start kind of going out at a weird angle as if I was being electrocuted. It was very cool. And now it does that every single time. I can feel the light coming through me. One of my clients told me that they had been trying to pull light, and we were together. And so I took her by the hand and I pulled light with her, and she was crazy astonished because for the first time she felt it. She said, I could actually feel it moving through my body. And it actually does. You just have to understand when you're visualizing light coming through your body, that is exactly what is happening. Your thoughts are energy, and what you think and what you say and what you visualize is thought energy exists.
Wow, that's powerful. I got to try that. That's something that I definitely want to experiment with for sure.
Yeah, it can change your situation. I was walking down a lonely street and I became fearful because a white van drove past me, and right past me they pulled over to the right hand side, and I was still walking towards them, and I was not sure if I should turn around and walk the other way. And then the man got out of the van. He was slovenly dressed and he was coming right towards me, and I began to get a little afraid, so I immediately activated my power shield of light. And like within 2 seconds, he stopped, looked at me, turned around, got back in the van, and he drove away. And some people could say that's just a coincidence, and it may have been, but I felt pretty positive that I had changed my situation. And that, you know, when people call me, some of my clients call me and say they're having a really bad day, and I ask them, have you pulled light today? No, because I'm so mad. I just don't feel like it. Well, that's the time when you need to do it the most.
Wow, that's an crazy story right there. Very interesting. So how about number five?
Number five takes a little bit longer. It takes more like a few minutes. It's meditation and prayer. And I'm not going to tell anybody how to pray, because everybody has their own, you know, thoughts on spirituality and religion and God or divine source. But the prayer is a little different from meditation, because the prayer is an actual communication. I usually use my prayer to extend gratitude for everything that I have, and for my connection, for everything. And then I sometimes use my prayer to state my intentions, like, I want to go through today. I want to touch people's hearts. I want to do this. I want to do that. And so that's my prayer. Then my meditation is the quieting of my mind, so that if there's any messages for me, I'm going to hear them instead of my mind being cluttered, you know, and I've got to write this book. I've got to finish this. I've got to do that. I've got to go cut the grass, which is what I did today. And I need to quiet my mind so that all that quietness, I can finally hear. I have inspired thought. I have direction. And the meditation doesn't have to, you know, people say, hey, 15 minutes, that's all you have to do. And some people don't even want to do that. But if you set your timer and put it on for 2 minutes, just quiet your mind on your breath for 2 minutes, it's enough to connect. And if you can go to 15 minutes, that would be awesome. But if you can't, don't beat yourself up. Go for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always bit by weak spot. Anybody who listens to the show knows that I complain about meditation all the time, and I know it takes practice and it's something that I have to work on, but
No, you don't have to work on it. You don't have to. See, because there's a disconnect there. When you said that, I could feel that there's a negative feeling about it, because I know you don't. You have that really powerful, active mind. I can tell that. And it's hard to make that mind just stop.
But that's one thing. I was like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like it just races so much. I get frustrated and like quit.
So, but that's okay. Listen, let me read something to you. It's from Grandmaster Eric Kino, who I write about in my Messages from Transcendent Being. He says this: how do we meditate? There are no firm rules, though some disciplines will tell you that their way is the best way. What I think about that is your way is the best way. In other words, whatever you instinctually feel comfortable with is the way you should go. The best for one is not the best for all. So do 1 minute, Omar. Do 2 minutes. And don't beat yourself up if your mind wanders, because everybody's mind wanders. Just bring it back. And if it helps, one of the things I help my clients with is I have them visualize a pond of water that has ripples in it. And slowly the ripples just get slower and slower until the pond is just very, very smooth and calm. And some that helps quiet their mind for just a minute or two. That's all you need, just a minute or two.
I'm gonna try that one. A quick glimpse in my mind's eye right there, actually very calming, and I'm gonna try that one. That's a good point. All right, so now we're up to number six.
Number six, we actually almost talked about it, or pretty much talked about it. Number six is aligning spiritually, or raising your vibrations. Mm-hmm. And when we match the vibration of God or Source or the universe, we are lifted to His perspective, and we can begin to see things from a higher point of view. And when we realize that all the things we're fussing over, that we have drama over, all the things that upset us, even things as traumatic as a rape or a death or a crime or all of those things, all of those things are merely a drop in the bucket, but that doesn't seem fair for me to make light of people's troubles. And I'm not making light of them because I understand them. Remember, I've been there. I've done that. But what I'm saying is when we can raise our vibration and align spiritually, we begin to take on the perspective from a higher source. Mm-hmm. And from that perspective, all of this drama just seems like nothing. Your burdens will magically begin to just lighten. And you don't feel everything so dramatically, so, you know, where it hurts so much, where there's so much pain. It's kind of like, you know, if somebody is really into football, or let's say basketball, since March Madness is going on. If somebody's really into March Madness, into basketball, there was a little boy they had on TV that they kept showing him. I don't remember the team. It was a blue color team, but he was crying so hard, and I felt so bad because his team was losing, and I felt so bad for that little boy. But, you know, from someone, let's say a higher perspective, someone who's not quite so wrapped up in basketball, you can say, "Oh, bless his little heart." But it, you know, that's really nothing that we should actually worry about. It seemed like the end of the world to him, but we know that it wasn't. Or take the parents of a teenage daughter, and her boyfriend has just broken up with her, and she is devastated. And we don't want to make light of how she feels, but we know as parents that she's going to have lots of breakups, and that she's going to go through this lots of times, and it's no big deal. It's just part of living and evolving. But when we can lift up to a higher vibration, we do begin to see things from God's point of view, or a Source energy point of view. And when we do that, things don't seem so bad. And we stop being overly critical. We stop being angry, and we see things from a distance. You ever heard, you know, the earth looks so peaceful and beautiful from a distance?
Perspective.
So, you know, what are you vibrating? What are we all vibrating? Are we critical of things? Are we judgmental? Are we harsh? Are we unkind? Are we angry? There's a few things we can do to raise our vibration really fast. Dance. Have you ever watched one of those, what is the thing where they go into the crowd and they just start dancing or singing? It's called something. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I forget too.
But we can dance. Just turn on some music and dance. You can sing. You can pull light. Pull light will change your vibration immediately. It will always raise your vibration, pulling light. You can watch a comedy on TV. You can smell flowers. You can listen to birds. You can pull up videos of children laughing. Here's one really big thing that can raise your vibration, and that is gratitude. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling truly grateful for something, anything, just think of anything that you really are grateful for right now. Just think of that thing. You can't be grateful and angry at the same time, can you? It's like you can't be wet and dry at the same time.
Right.
So when you're feeling truly grateful, it's just impossible to be anything other than having a high vibration.
Good tips. Thank you. And I hate to make you feel like we're rushing through the seven, but I learned my lesson last time, so I'm trying to get through that so we can.
We're almost here.
Was that number seven? Yeah.
Number seven is very, very alike number one. It's so easy. Are you ready? It's pay attention. So people might ask, pay attention to what? Well, to everything, to synchronicities that happen throughout your day, to the person sitting across from you on the bus, to the birds chirping over your head. Just listen and watch and be the observer of life, because now the inspired thought will come and the aha moments will come and the meeting of a key person will come. And while you're paying attention and letting go and raising your vibration and pulling light and feeling joy, all of a sudden, whatever you are going for, the real estate agent will appear in your life for the house that you were trying to get, or, you know, that was just a silly example, but whatever it is you were trying to reach for, it will begin to appear in your life. But you have to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, the signs will go away. So you have to be observant, and you have to not call something, oh, that's just a coincidence, because as soon as you say that, it's like you've been sent a sign, you've been sent something, and you're denying that something. And if you're going to deny it, then there's no use in sending it to you anymore. So you mess up. So make sure you pay attention, watch for everything. If you're talking about, I wonder if I should go to take this new job in California, let's say, if you're sitting out under the stars and you're just watching and observing, I wonder if I should take this new job in California, and a shooting star shoots across the sky, I'm suggesting that maybe you really do think about it strongly, or look into it, you know, give it more thought, and be discerning, but pay attention. Some people, one woman asked me after a conference, she said, but how do you know if you're having inspired thought, or if it's just your normal mind chatter, because mind chatter is just blah, 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 blah everywhere. And that's the synchronicities is how I know, because my mind chatters too. But for example, I'll give you an example. I was thinking about joining. I mean, I had never even heard of Toastmasters at one point. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a while ago, but I'd never heard of Toastmasters. And then I was reading something online about a certain speaker, one that I admired, and I noticed under his name it said he was a Toastmaster. And I said, well, what's a Toastmaster? I think I've heard of that. I don't know what that is. So I looked it up. I thought, oh, it's an organization of speakers teaching people how to speak. Then I opened my email, and there was a famous guy, and I won't name him, but he was talking about the fact that his business had folded and he was starting all over. And he remembers when it happened, he remembers that he went back to Toastmasters where he'd begun. And so here he was having there's a video, and now he's talking about Toastmasters. And then I had an appointment with a woman who was going to advise me on how to fix my website a little bit better. And I called and talked to her. It was a little free strategy session, and we got talking about speaking, and I asked her how she got started, and she said, well, I actually got started at Toastmasters. Okay, that was three. And then my sister, who works at a print and copy shop, she came home that night and said, Oh, I had a woman come in today who wanted a lot of things printed for the local Toastmasters. I said, okay, that's it. I need to go see about Toastmasters.
Oh, boy. Shit, you were getting hit over the head.
Yeah. But you know what? And the funny thing is, in several of my prayers, I always ask, you know, I'm a little bit dense. I'm a little bit stubborn. So please come and knock me upside the head.
Oh, that's exactly how I would have approached it. I was like, I don't get the hint at all. So do what you got to do to get me to do what I have to do. So
exactly.
Oh,
see,
boy.
I'm not special. I'm not special that this divine being came and appeared to me. I feel like we probably had a pact that if I didn't figure things out by the time I was 40 years old, he'd come down and knock me upside the head.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that sounds like what I would have to go through at this point. But hey, listen, I'm so happy that we got through the seven. Now, the million-dollar question is this. Now that we can incorporate these seven keys, like how quickly can we expect to see some kind of results? Because we are a result-driven society,
yeah.
And we want to see proof that this kind of stuff works. And I know it's a guesstimation, unless maybe you do know something more specific. How long does this kind of
take? I know that I really shouldn't give a specific thing because that puts my credibility on the line. However, if I'm going to walk out there on that cliff because I so much know I was given these keys to share with everybody. And if they will do these seven keys, do them well, incorporate them into their lives within only, it could be a few days up to a few weeks, they will begin to notice a difference. First of all, they'll just start feeling happier. They'll start smiling more. You know, even if they have to get up and go to a crappy job, they are what? They're letting go. Even if they're in the middle of a bitter divorce battle, they're what? They're letting go. Because what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, the worst thing is we could all die, right? So they're just letting go, and they're pulling light. And you can, by the way, you can pull light not necessarily just through your own body, but if you have permission to pull light through a friend or a loved one's body, you know, like my husband says, hey, yeah, light me up, baby. So I pull light through his body. You can pull light around a situation. Pull light just around a bad situation. And so they're doing all these things. They will begin to see a difference. It can be a matter of just a few days, at least two or three weeks. I think I put a little program on my website. I said in 21 days. But I feel like if you're really committed and committed to what? To just a few seconds. You know, it's a tweaking of a few thoughts to take a few seconds, pulling light that takes a few seconds. You have to let go several times a day, and the meditation might take a couple minutes instead of a few seconds. But still, all in all, it's so easy, and it changes your mindset. And if one of your listening audience is struggling with this, they can set up a time and call me. I will not try to sell them anything. I will only help them work through whatever problem they're having and help them find their joy.
Oh, that's a great offer. And I hope the audience absolutely takes it up because it changes lives. I mean, put it this way, even if you're not completely sold on some of the things that you have mentioned today, which I think most of the audiences will be because I do have a progressive audience. It's just your approach to life is totally different, and it's bound to change the way that you go about your business, and it's going to work, you know? So I'm sold. I'm a believer for sure.
Wonderful. I got one.
Yeah, you have me in November, but you know, I was just waiting for the actual description of our seven, you know, keys, which we've finally got. And I would really appreciate that you did come back and share that with us, because I know that a lot of people were interested in it, including myself.
Oh, I am so glad to come back on your show. I love doing your show. I do it 100 times. It's a wonderful show. You have a very good energy and a very good vibration about you.
Oh, I appreciate that. And likewise, yeah, and I definitely learn a lot, and we always have a good conversation. But I definitely want to, you know, because I know that we went over the time that we anticipated and planned for. So I just want you to give yourself opportunity to just get out there and let us know how to get in contact with you, how to get your book, which was very good when I read it back in November. And just, you know, any kind of social media handles that you'd like to have the people connect with you, that'd be great.
All right. Well, first, my website is very easy. It's just my name, McCartneyGreen.com. And on my website, if you look on the very far right tab, it'll say free gift. And if you go there and click it, yes, it will put you on my list. And I won't spam you. I don't do that. I don't, you know, write you a whole bunch of times. I may eventually write you and tell you when I have a new book coming out. But get the free gift. And it is pretty much what I just went over, all seven keys with you. That's the free gift. And also, on my website, there's a little tab there that says, let's talk. And if you'll click there, it will send you to a calendar where you can schedule time with me if you would like me to help you get through whatever it is that you need to get through. And also on my website, on the right side, if you go down a little bit farther, I have, and there's no opt-in for this one, I have just my first novel that I wrote way back, Dandelions Never Die. It is a novel about a woman who overcomes amazing obstacles and traumas to become powerful and joyful. And it's pretty sexy. So, you know, I just warn you about that. And and also, I am on Facebook. It's instead of McCartney Green, it's Author McCartney Green on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest, all just McCartney Green. But I think you can reach all of those through the first page of my website. If you scroll down to the bottom, you know, you can just click on those little tabs.
Yep, you definitely can. I checked it out. Yeah, and it's a lot of, like I said, your website has a lot of great content. I hope people check it out, get the free gifts, and touch base.
Yeah, and I forgot. How could I forget? Please go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or Nook, Kindle, iBooks, iTunes, yeah. Apple. Anyway, it's Apple and Kobo. And you can get my book, Messages from Transcendent Beings, We Are Not Alone. And then there's a very long subtitle, but it is a beautiful book. I was inspired to write that book. I sometimes think I sort of halfway channeled it, even though I don't want to say I channeled it because I did not lose consciousness. I knew exactly what I was writing, but I meditated and I closed my eyes and I let the words come through me. And I hope that people will buy it and enjoy it and be inspired by it. I just had three people call me to tell me that they just finished reading the book and they felt like it was speaking right to them. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that it would do that. But three different people who are different all told me the same thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. Awesome. So, McCartney, again, thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope you have a great night. And, you know, I'm looking forward to your next book. The title alone is very, very, very appealing to me. If you want to share that with the audience real quick before you get off.
Yeah,
that'd be cool
too. Next book coming out is When the Law of Attraction Doesn't Work, The Secret You Haven't Been Told.
Yeah. Listen, because a lot of people jumped all over The Secret, including myself, and it didn't necessarily work to the degree that they were hoping. And it's hearing you and the title of this book and just your approach, I'm very curious to hear.
I'll send you a free copy when I get it finished, and you'll be one of the first people that gets to read it. How's that?
That sounds good. You got to autograph it for me too, because that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big one. All right, McCartney, thanks again for being on the show, and you have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure.